Hello.
Hi, Jordan.
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good.
Good. Amazing. Well, I'm very, very excited to talk. Thank you for taking the time to speak with me. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. I'm so stoked to be here to be able to talk to you and meet you and everything.
Likewise, likewise. So before we begin, just like tell me about yourself. Like, who are you? What do you do? I want to get to know you better.
Cool. So I'm Lizzie. I am 25. I currently live in Salt Lake City, but grew up in Chicago my whole life. Moved out here a year ago.
Okay.
I am, let's see, so grew up playing sports, all that kind of stuff. I'm
What
a
sport?
teacher, mainly lacrosse,
Okay.
but I've done everything, swimming, basketball, volleyball, all those kinds of things, but lacrosse was my main sport.
Okay.
And then when I went to college, I got really into strength training.
Nice.
Like really into it like junior year. And then when COVID hit, it was when I was graduating. 2020 was my graduation year. So
Okay. Oh.
world shut down for my final semester of student teaching and all that kind of stuff. So brutal. But I actually like took that as a way to get into shape. I
Good.
just kind of put my head down and did a lot of home training programs, and got super, super fit, like ridiculously fit, like Goggins hard. Like, you don't
I
know me, son, type
love
stuff. Like,
that.
I was like, I'm a bionic woman. Like, nobody can stop me. And it was great. And so, like, for 2 years, I was just like so gung ho on this stuff. And I did my first marathon in
Wow.
Chicago. Yeah, I did. Then once I hit that, I was like, what else can I do? I was like, I want to do an Ironman.
Wow.
So I did like a mock Olympic distance triathlon. I like
Okay.
just went to my gym on New Year's Eve day
Stop.
and
Are you
just like
serious?
cranked it out. Yeah,
That is
I
like the most Goggins thing I've ever heard in my life.
telling you, I was like Goggins mode for like 2 years. Like I was running like 10 miles in -8 degree weather outside. Like I
Oh
was
my goodness.
bonkers nuts. But like I had nothing else going on. I was teaching from home, teaching remotely. Like I moved back home with my mom with COVID, so I literally had nothing to do but just like go balls to the walls hard.
I love it. I bet you learned a lot doing that.
I for sure did. And then I did my first, fast forwarding, I did my first half Ironman this April.
Oh my God.
So
Wow.
I've accomplished a lot, but when I moved out to Salt Lake, I did it to like get connected to nature more and be able to hike and be in a much more active lifestyle.
I love that.
Because like Chicago, winter comes and you're either binge drinking on the weekends or you're shuttled inside or you're just like eating out. Like that's the only thing you can really do, or you're like me running in negative degree weather, and I just kind of got fed up with it.
Yep, I understand that completely.
So I decided to try out living in Salt Lake. I was just gonna do it for the summer, go back, finish out the school year, and then maybe full-time move this present summer. But I fell in love with it so much that I just jumped the gun and quit my job and moved out here, became a
Let's
homeschool
go.
teacher, like, yeah, so super cool. But because the lifestyle changed and I didn't have to be so Goggins because there's actually cool things to do here, it totally wiped out like my nutrition and my structure. And so like from what, let's say June, July of last year to like October, I put on like 25 pounds, maybe more like 15, 20.
Okay.
But like now I'm currently 20, 25 pounds heavier than I was a year ago. And it's hard. And I like have really struggled with kind of the binge restrict cycle. And like, you hear people binge restrict within a week, like they're really good Monday to Friday, and then the weekend hits and they just lose it. For me, it's like much like macro scale. It's like I will be super tough and good for 2 to 3 years,
Yeah.
And then I'm in my binge for 9 months.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where I'm at right now. And I emailed you a couple months ago and got this set up. And I was like, okay, I'm either July is going to come around and I'm going to have my shit together. And I get to be like, woohoo, Jordan, look at me. Like, I have my shit together. Or I'm going to be in the exact same boat. And that's kind of, I'm a little bit better than I was when I first emailed you, but okay. I still have a long way to go for
so
sure.
Tell me what you mean by you're a little bit better. Like what has improved?
So prior I was binging pretty much every single night. Like,
okay.
And I was like, I'm a pretty thoughtful, intuitive person. So I've really been trying to reflect on it as I'm doing it. Or
I love that. That's beautiful to hear that. That's very few people are consciously aware as they're doing something like that. So to even hear you say that's a strategy is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it didn't do anything about it, but I was very aware that I was doing it.
Yes.
And you know, it wasn't because I was restricting myself all day and not eating. Like, I'm a big eater. I love food. Like, I've never been a person to ever go down the like do not eat route because yep. It's just too good for me. Like, so like I would be like having a really big breakfast, having a pretty big lunch, and then snacking midday, having a so-so dinner, and then just going balls to the walls at night. And so it's just like, I had no calorie break throughout the entire day. Cause I know your strategies have been like, never skip a breakfast when you're struggling with this stuff, because that really sets you up for a better day. And it did, but then I would still get to night and just be like, fuck it. And I think part of it was, sorry, my language.
No, please, you know me. Don't even think about apologizing for that. But you'd have to apologize if you went the whole podcast and didn't swear. That would be the
yeah. So cool. So those will come out. Shit, fuck, whatever. All of them. But I don't know. Part of me thinks it was just I had been so hard and so Gogginsy for so long that like I'd be like, screw it. There's people eating junk food 24/7 all day every day. I can do that too. Like, just screw it. Like, they're doing it. I can do it too. Why? Like, why can't I do it? And so, yeah. So it just was perpetual, and like it truly felt like there was months on end where I wouldn't go a day without just eating my like life away at night, and it was just snacking this and snacking that, and I don't know. It's not like I was eating bad food. It's not like I was like going to McDonald's and binging on that kind of stuff. Like, it was just like eating a shit ton of like oatmeal. Like, yeah. I would be like binging on really healthy or like quote unquote healthy food that's still eventually calorie dense.
Yeah.
I was like, well, maybe I can like just start snacking on fruit. And then I would like eat an entire watermelon, which again, like isn't bad big picture, but it's still the habit of overconsuming that I've been struggling with. So it's gotten a little bit better. I went to Europe for a month.
Nice.
For work.
How was that?
It was amazing. It was so cool. I was an au pair for
a family. That's awesome.
Yeah, really cool. And so, you know, the food's amazing. I felt so much better with all of the food I was eating.
Yeah.
And because I was living and on a schedule with another family, I didn't really have the opportunity to binge, which I was hoping was going to be like a blessing in the long run. And I think it was. I think it was a good reset that I needed.
Good.
But I still found myself like wanting to sneak some of the kids' snacks at night once they went to bed. But ever since being back, I've probably had like a full-on binge like 4 times since being back, which for me has been huge. I got back June 30th.
Oh, wow. So it's been like a month.
So it's been like a month that I've been back. So it's been pretty good. And I've also just struggled with getting back on track with tracking. Cause again, I've just been like, fuck tracking, like fuck all of this. I'm done. Yeah. But I went through your, I forget which manual I went through last week, but it was comparing the two different calorie deficit approaches. You have the jab.
Yep.
And then the long
Hail Mary.
One.
Hail Mary. Yeah.
And I was like, well, maybe I can try the jab approach. And so this was like last Tuesday, and I was like, I'm on the call the following Tuesday. Let's try the jab. just for these 7 days.
Yeah.
I hop on the call with Jordan and I've successfully tracked every single day.
Nice.
And I've had 2 O days.
Okay.
I had one on Friday, but that's just because I went to a rodeo and had a couple beers and
let's
enjoyed
go.
My time. Yeah. And then yesterday was my friend's birthday. So definitely enjoyed that too. So it's been positive O days,
Good.
Not like super bad.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. That I love that. That sounds incredible. How do you feel on the jab thus far, having done it a week? Like, this has been the on week. So how do you feel with it?
So far, good. Like, okay. The best I felt in probably 9 months with tracking food. Like, this is the longest I've tracked
good.
Consistently in
Amazing.
probably a year. So
Okay.
That's good. I'm just like worried about when I start to feel
Yeah.
hungry, because
Yeah,
I haven't really been feeling hungry yet because it's been 6 days and I've
yeah.
had 2 O days. So it's like, yeah.
So one thing that you touched on that I think is very important is how you were saying it's not bad to have those foods in large quantities. It's that impulse and like overwhelming urge almost that can feel impossible to quell. As like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I like, even you're saying like you're aware during the moment, it hasn't stopped you, but like you're aware of it and like you don't want to be doing it. So why the fuck is this happening? So I love that you identified that, because it's a very important thing to be aware of. And it shows that you are being objectively aware, especially as it's happening, which I think that's the most important step to actually figuring out a way to stop. Let me ask, I have a number of questions I want to ask, but one of them is, when you were going like full on Goggins, like just going crazy, all that, was any part of that to try and make up for how much you would eat, or were they completely separate?
They were completely separate times. Like,
okay.
I was Goggins hard, and had no major like instances or binges. Like,
okay.
I think there might be like, there was like one weekend where I was like at my friend's lake house or something,
Yeah.
and I would just like go balls to the walls. And I definitely still had that urge in me of kind of that binge restrict,
Yeah.
but it was so minuscule. And like, I was in such full control of everything that it didn't actually come in. Like, I
Okay.
was so intense. Like I would be watching a show with my roommate, my 8 o'clock alarm to get ready to go to bed would go off. I'd be like,
Yeah.
okay, good night. Like mid-episode. Like, yeah. And like, it was fun then. And I really felt good.
Yeah.
I did. Cause like, I wasn't really eating any sugars and stuff like that. But I also like had lost my period for 7 months, which
Okay.
is not a good thing.
Correct.
Like, I got lean. Like, I'm 5'6" and the leanest I got was like 138 pounds. And I was truly, I don't know my body fat percentage, but
it was
there was
low.
no way I was probably 10% at that
Yeah.
point. Like, I was a lean machine. I
Okay.
felt good, but clearly with my period stopping for 7 months, that is a red flag right
Yeah.
then and
Yeah.
that I was too Goggins.
So that brings in, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you said that, because that brings in a separate component to this that I hadn't been thinking of until you said that, which is really important. Did you ever struggle with binging prior to this, or was like, this is like the first time that it really like came on after all this Goggins stuff and going really hard? Is that like the first time you really struggled with it?
In short, I like don't think it's ever been this extreme, but I like would go like it was never this extreme, but yeah, I did struggle with this cycle before. Like in college, I played club lacrosse in college too, so that's a spring sport, and so like I would get super in shape for the spring,
yeah,
and it would linger into the summer for a little bit.
Yeah.
Then summer would roll around, I'd start to get more lax, I'd start drinking a little bit more, and then like I would slowly start putting on weight again through the fall to like October, I'd put on weight, and then
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, let's flip it back into gear.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like what it's been this past year. Never
Okay.
It's never been this extreme, but it's
Never.
been in that role.
Like you've had the like, I'm on, I'm off, I'm on, I'm off, but like never like the binging, like really like uncontrollable type binge.
No,
Okay.
definitely.
So did you ever read, have you ever heard of the Minnesota Starvation Experiment? Okay,
Oh,
so
no, actually, I don't think so.
it's a very famous study for many reasons, not least of which because it's completely and utterly unethical in every way, shape, and form. But and so that's why they'll never reproduce it. But if you look it up, like there, it's a study in which they literally starved the participants, and they willingly did it. It was like they were paid for it and everything. But scientists wanted to know what happens when you starve, and they starved them in a controlled environment, which is like one of the best ways to show people that starvation mode isn't real, like that you just get fat from eating too little. Because like, aside from the practical examples we can use in our life, no, there's actual real research showing that's just not accurate. To me, the interesting part wasn't that they lost a lot of weight. That was obvious. The interesting part for me was the behavioral changes that these people experienced after the study, which was tremendous binge eating, like tremendous. And they had never struggled with it before. And it sounds to me like you worked so hard and you got yourself so lean and you were able to sustain it because you had that mindset. But once that lifestyle no longer suited you anymore, and now you're just walking around at this crazy level of leanness, I have a very strong gut feeling that your brain, whether you realize it or not, was like, I need to eat a lot right now, even if I don't want to, even if I'm not hungry, just because it went through this long duration starvation experience, right?
Totally.
Like that's
That's got
why
to
you
be.
lost your period. It's like you lost your period because when you were not giving your body enough energy, your body is not able to care for another human. It cannot create another human. It's like we need to give all of our energy to you. That's why women will lose their period when they're cutting calories so much and when they're starving, because that's their body. The body's first and foremost role is to keep you alive.
Totally.
So if you hadn't said that, I probably wouldn't even gone down that route. That's why I'm glad that you brought it up, because I have a feeling it's residuals from, and there are many, many reasons why someone might binge. If you had told me this is something that you struggled with for a while, maybe you had a certain trauma when you were younger that you went through, that would be a very different discussion as to how to deal with this. Because a lot of it, I think, because losing the period and because like the long term of just going hard, this is really what my brain tells me is what's going on.
I'm sure there is in this. Plus, to move in here, I pretty much started my own homeschool teaching tutoring business. So I was struggling financially too, which played a huge factor. I've never really struggled with finances until really this year. And that stressor also played a factor for sure.
In terms of stress eating type response.
Lots of variables.
Would you mind telling me how much you weigh now? 170.
Yeah. I weigh 170.
So at your leanest, you were 138, and that was like too lean.
That was too lean. And so then I kind of leveled out around 146. That was where I felt good. My period was back. I was lean. I was good. And then I quickly jumped to 160 come in 3 months.
Got it. And that was from a lot of the binge eating. And when did the majority of this binge eating happen? So I know you said, or since the last month, it's only been like four times or so. Which is, by the way, amazing and a huge sign of progress. How frequently? Was it like every day prior to that?
Yeah, pretty much every single day. I'd go through waves of not, but yeah, probably from August last year till May, it was. Almost, it felt like it was every single day because it just seemed all consuming.
And you think that this trip to Europe, what might have been enough for like just like, hey, change of routine, change of pace, that the urges were still there, but you weren't actually giving into them. So like that could have helped.
I think it definitely helped. And so I think it got me moving in the right direction, but I don't think it's the final solution. I think it just was a change of scenery that helps, but
So what do you think going forward? what do you think needs to happen to reach this solution? What do you think in your mind needs to happen to make sure this doesn't happen again?
I think I need to find a way to feel like what I'm doing is for truly like health reasons and not just physique reasons.
Okay.
Because I am training for another half Ironman in October.
Yep.
And so being lean is very beneficial when you're on a bike. Like it just, it helps. Like I am too dense right now to be at peak competing level. Yeah. That's just how the sport goes. But that motivator is not enough to get me to do what I need to do. Like I need to, because I tried that. I hired a nutrition coach before my first half Ironman. And I was like, I got to get lean for the race, which is true, but it wasn't a big enough why for me to do it.
Yeah.
And so I was still,
So I'm going to say something right now that I'm sure for people who listen, some people are going to be pissed, but this is the truth. And this is, I think, very under-discussed. And I want to be clear, what I'm about to say is not discouraging you from doing this. It's just going to give you a more realistic perspective of how intense you want to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with many high-level athletes, whether it's triathletes, whether it's combat athletes, basically any athlete or many athletes who the performance of their sport depends on being lean. It's now coming to light through research and just observation, but there's actual research on this now, that bodybuilders and physique competitors have among not only the worst body image, but also the worst relationships with food, the highest instances of binge eating, the highest instances of disordered eating, anorexia, bulimia, all of that. This is all coming to light now, and it's something I've known for many years, but we're just getting research on it. When I tell you that high-level athletes, whether it's triathletes, marathoners, jiu-jitsu competitors, rowers, people who their sport depends on like being able to stay lean, have an unbelievably high incidence of disordered eating, like I cannot overstate this. It happens all the time. And there have been a number of fighters, jiu-jitsu fighters, martial artists who've come out in the last few years and like been publicly open about it for the first time. I've worked with them privately and they've told me I would never out them, but now people have started to come out and talk about it and people are shocked. They're like, I had no idea. It's like, well, that guy is like 5'8" and he competes at like 125 pounds. What the fuck do you think? Like in order to maintain that. So I say this not to discourage you from doing it, because I still think you should, especially if you want to and you love it. The question that you're going to have to ask yourself is, how intense do you want to go with this, knowing that the leaner you get, the more likely you are to relapse and go back towards like really intense binge eating? And for me, as an example, like I've been very open about, you know, binge eating that I had through wrestling when I was younger, and how my maintenance is a range between like 146 to 156 ish. Like that's my range, like that 10-pound range I stay within. When I get to about like 148, 147, 146, I know I can get leaner. Like the question isn't whether I can. The question is it worth it? And I tried for years to, okay, I'm going to get leaner. But then I would feel the urge. And as soon as I felt that urge, I was like, nope, not worth it. Like I never let it get to the point where I actually did it, but I would start to feel it. And I'd be like, nope, not worth it. So that's why for me, my lowest weight that I'll get to is like a very healthy weight, but it's just not worth it. Even though I would do way better in jiu-jitsu, even though I would do better, like I could do shirtless pictures more on social media, whatever it is, like that would help from a sales perspective for business, all of that, but it wouldn't be worth it knowing the awful binge habits that would come as a result of it. And it took me years to figure this out. Like, I just don't go below 146. Like, I'm just not going to. This is the question you're going to have to ask yourself is, is how intense do you want to take it? Because right now it sounds like you're in the process of developing really great habits and improving this. Yeah. The question is, how low can you go before that starts to come back? Does that make sense?
Totally. And I've thought about that too. I was like, is doing these triathlons worth it? Because it's so much cardio. And like, nobody told me when I was training for my first marathon that most people put on weight when they're training for marathons. Like, I put on 10 pounds and I was pissed. I was like, I thought I was supposed to be super lean running all these miles. Like, no, you're just like overconsumed just with cardio and stuff. And so I have asked that question. And I think I want to feel successful, but I don't want to feel like I'm Goggins anymore.
Okay.
And I think because I've been on this binge for so long, that just by developing better like nutritional habits, I think the weight will just naturally come off.
Yes.
Without me forcing it. And so I think the answer to your question is I just want to work on the healthy relationship, and I think the results will come.
Yeah.
Truly, and my body will find its equilibrium just through healthy habits.
Yes. I could not agree with you anymore. It's not like you need to go into a dieting phase. It's not like you need to drastically cut calories and be perfect. It's just focusing on the foods and the quality of foods that are going to fuel you the best, help you feel your best. And naturally, between that and then also your training, you're going to lose weight. You're going to be in a deficit, but without being overly strict and trying to lose this amount every single week. It's just like, you'll find that, like you said, equilibrium.
Totally. And like, if you look at me, like, I know you can only see like chest up, but like, if you look at me, like I'm strong. I like look fit. Like my friends,
very fit.
When they hear me like have these, like that, when they hear my like internal dialogue, they're like, what are you talking about? Like, you look great. You look fit. You look whatever. And I am. And I luckily have built so many like years of muscle under here that I still look strong. Like I still look strong. So, but it's, you know, your mind can make a lot of stuff up and like,
oh yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. My mind can fuck with you big time. Like it's crazy. It's crazy how like, you can look at yourself and other people can see one thing and you see something completely different. Really? Yeah. It's a huge mindfuck.
I was with my friend the other day and I was like, I genuinely see myself as like the fat friend. And he's like, you've got to be kidding me. Like how? I'm like, I know logically it's not true. Like I know I'm fit and relatively lean compared to the average person. I'm definitely above average fitness wise.
Yeah.
But your mental talk is everything.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And there's the mental side of it. There's also the side of it, you know, even how I said earlier, I was like, yeah, like if I was leaner, I would like post more pictures on Instagram, which obviously I wouldn't, like, this is not what I would do. But keeping in mind that people who are posting pictures on Instagram like that are doing it deliberately at a time in which they are very lean. Like that's how people do this. They will cut a certain amount. They will schedule a photo shoot. That doesn't even take into account Photoshop and editing and all that, but like they will specifically and deliberately only show themselves when they're at their leanest, which is like, can screw with your own mental side of it. And like the posing that they'll do and the lighting that they'll do and then the editing on top of it, it's just, it's not real, which can really screw with you. Like, and when I say you, I mean the proverbial you, it's like, it screws with everyone because, well, if that's what they look like, why, like I should look like that. Like, oh, and especially because if you know them and like, but I train way harder, I do way more, I'm way stronger. What the fuck? Why don't I look like that? And never mind, even if it is very real, we're two different people, like completely, like we're built different. We have different parents. Like even if you're the same parents, we could look different. It's
every, my brothers are just lean, mean machines. And I'm like, we're always like, my brother's like, I wish I could trade thighs with you. And I was like, I wish I could trade thighs with you. Are you kidding me?
Isn't that funny how that works? Yeah. The grass is always greener.
Always.
So for your strategy going forward, do you think it's worthwhile? And there's no right or wrong here. I'm just asking curiously, do you think you should count calories? Do you think you shouldn't count calories? What do you think?
I don't know. Okay. Honestly. Because I think there's so much benefit to it. And now that I'm no longer like screw counting calories, I'm feeling more optimistic to do it again.
Yeah.
Because for a while, I was actively not doing it and I was actively not stepping on the scale because it just was making everything worse. It's no longer making everything worse.
Good.
So I think there is benefit to tracking again.
So what you've just described is amazing for many reasons, but it's the perfect example of you stopped weighing yourself and you stopped tracking at a time in which it was making things worse. You took time away and you also at the same time probably educated yourself on what does the scale actually mean? Like what calories, what do they actually mean? Understanding that one bad day isn't going to ruin your progress. So simultaneously, while you're taking time away from it, you're also learning the truth about it and developing a better relationship with it. And now it sounds like you can go back to it without any issues. And that's very similar to what I went through, where like I took time off calorie counting, I took time off doing all that stuff. Then I went back to it with the new knowledge, and like I've never had an issue since. Like they're like in almost 15 years now. So it's like just because something might not be good for you at one point in your life doesn't mean you have to avoid it for your whole life. In terms of like, do you want to count or do you not want? Is there like a certain desire one way or the other?
I'm more towards like I want to.
Okay.
For a really long time, it was like, no, I don't want to, but I am feeling like I want to
So
track again.
why do you think you want to?
Because I've seen just the benefits I've had just in the last 6 days of it.
Yeah.
Of it used to feel like the calories were in control. And like I like wasn't allowed to eat all of these things because I was tracking.
Yep.
But now it feels like look at it, it's now feels like freedom again. No
Good.
longer chains.
Good. Okay. I
I
love
was able to throw in chocolate chips to my like yogurt I had like at night before bed because I had the extra calories. And that was a big reward to
that.
feel.
That's an incredible way to put it. It's no longer a form of restriction. It's actually a form of addition. Like it gives you more freedom. It gives you more opportunity, like to have that knowledge and also know what you can add in and still totally fine. I love that. So you're doing the jab approach. So you're on the on week now. Do you know how many weeks you're going to be like on for, and then like what your off weeks are going to look like? Do you still want to count calories on those weeks? Like, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I still want to count calories on those weeks because I'm really good at counting in like deficit or like
Okay.
diet mindset. I'm not great in maintenance tracking. So I definitely want to track overall. And I was thinking like either one on, one off, or two on, like one off. I'm not quite sure. I was just kind of see how I'm feeling.
I love that. So what I would encourage you to do with the jab approach at the beginning is keep the jabs short.
Right.
Just as it gives you an opportunity to go back and forth. And I don't want you to get to a point in which you're like, oh, like I've got four more days, or I've got like, oh, like you want to stop. I would rather you stop while you still want more. Right. Like, so I would rather than say, hey, I'm gonna do 2 weeks on, let's just start with 1 week on. And then like by the time that week is over, you're like, I feel great. Like you don't feel deprived. You don't feel bad. It was a quick week. Then you can decide, cool, am I going to do 1 week or 2 weeks off? It's 100% up to you. But essentially the on weeks are so short and so quick and so that it's like, it's not bad at all. And that further creates a better relationship with that time period. And then if at a certain point you're like, you know what? Like I've been doing this for 2 months. I've had like a couple on weeks. Like I'm gonna start making my on weeks 2 weeks at a time, and that's totally fine as well. But I would start with a brief jab where it's like you're on point for 7 days, and that way like it gives you more time to just relax and like so you're not on 100%, and that would also give you more time to practice tracking and maintenance, and also understanding if you're going between maintenance and deficit, you're still gonna lose weight over that time period, and it will be a very slow sustainable amount, and it won't be at such outrageous calories that you'll still be able to include a lot of your favorite foods.
The first question that comes to mind is when you have an O day, like, I'm not there, but I know I can be like potentially get there of like, well, I had 2 O days, so I should extend my jab 2 days because I had my O's.
Nope, you don't extend it. It's like, this is it. Don't do
Don't
it.
really say that.
Yeah, that's it. Period. Like, nope, that's it. And 2 ODs is fine. If you have like, again, you could have like 6 O days throughout the month and like you're still about 80% consistent. Like it's not crazy. And a lot of people will make a lot of progress at 70% consistent, right? So I mean, the 80% is a guideline. It's not a rule. There have been many people who've come on this podcast like, yeah, honestly, I was only 70% consistent, but I was able to lose X amount of weight. It's like 80% is where I think you get the best of both worlds, where you get the most amount of progress with the most amount of flexibility. But even if you're at like 70% consistent, you're still going to make progress, just going to be a little bit slower than you might want. And that's totally fine. Who cares how fast it goes? But just because you have a day where you're not consistent does not mean you extended the week. That's how, that right there is the perfect example of like a punishment-based program and a punishment-based mindset that's built on the foundation of this was bad. An O day isn't bad. Just like you said, you had 2 O days and you had a great time and it was an enjoyable and it was fun and you're glad you had them. There's no reason to extend it when like that was part of the week.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. I had a feeling that was the answer, but I figured I should ask anyway.
I'm glad. It's a great question.
Okay, cool.
Do you have any other questions on the plan?
So I guess I've also struggled with trying to figure out how to set my calories because I am training and a lot of it is like every single calorie counts and it matters. Whatever you consume is there. But like with if I'm doing long training blocks, like you eat throughout like the bike ride or whatever like that. And that's kind of where my downfall was last training block of like, I want to be eating these set amount of calories, but I also need to be fueled for my training. So do I put those into my total daily thing or do I like put them in their own separate box and like not actually count them for my overall day?
How many calories generally are you eating like to support training? Never mind like the daily calories, just like the training calories.
If it's over 90 minutes of a training block, I probably consume like 100 calories an hour.
Okay.
To 200 calories an hour, depending on how hard it is.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about those calories.
Okay.
Like I would eat like, so how many calories are you eating on your, like on your deficit weeks and then on your maintenance weeks?
On my deficit weeks, I'm doing, which this probably could be too low, so I'm happy for you to bitch me out for it being too low. I'm doing 650, but I'm kind of
150.
Sorry, 16. 16.
Okay, I was about to lose my shit.
I know better. I know 150, but I'm doing more of a range of like 1600 to 1700, just because.
Okay.
Not going to give myself an O because I eat 1651.
Correct. Exactly. Yep.
And then on my, I haven't really thought about my maintenance, to be honest. So, I would bullshit a number for you, but so I don't know.
I love that. So we'll set both of these right now. How did you come up with 1600 to 1700?
I used your, I think times 12.
Times 12. Okay. And so you must have used like 140 or something. Like was that 140? Because 140 is 1680.
Yeah, I must have. Or maybe I did.
140 times 12 is 1680.
I know I set my goal weight as 150. So I think I did times 11.
Got it. Okay. Yep. You're eating too little on your calorie deficit days. That's too low. It's too low, period, and it's definitely too low considering your training. Like
I know that.
Definitely too low. And for whatever it's worth, I want to make this clear. This would help you lose weight more quickly, but I think it would also help you start binging more quickly. And I also think it would hurt your training more quickly. Faster fat loss, but at two huge costs. So we're going to increase that. Not to mention, so if you said you were like 138 at like your lowest, right? So 138 times 12 is 1656. Like that's, you're eating the amount that would get you to the leanest you ever were where you lost your period. So like, I'm very glad we're talking because this is way too low for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Just way too low. So let's pick a goal weight that is smart, a smart goal weight, like one that would be healthy and give you a substantial and sufficient amount of calories while also being able to help you achieve your goal of losing weight. So what do you think would be an appropriate goal weight?
Well, I feel like I felt my best and healthiest and had my period around 150.
Okay.
But I'd be comfortable with 150 to 155. 155 scares me. It feels too heavy, but I don't think I should think that way either.
Okay. And just so you know, we can use this range. And when you get there, you can decide, oh my God, I actually fucking love how I look. Let's just stay here. Or you know what? Like, let's see if I can get to 150, see if I feel any better. And then you can get to 150 and maybe you'll be like, yeah, I do feel better here. I'll stay here. Or you could get to 150 and be like, nah, I'd rather eat a little bit more calories and be 155. Like, it's 100% up to you. But the 150 to 155 is a very reasonable goal weight to set compared to like 138, you know, like it's just no question. So if we do 150 by 12, that's 1800, right? So, and if we do 155 by 12, that's 1860. I would put your range between 1800 to 2000.
Okay.
Anywhere in there. And this, by the way, does not include the calories you're going to consume on your like long training days. So anything over like that, like if you're going to incorporate another couple hundred calories, that's fine. Like, do not count those towards these total calories. Okay.
Yeah.
So, cause it's only a couple hundred at most. What's up?
Is there any point where I should start counting those? Like if I'm consuming like,
if you told me you were consuming like 500 calories plus, I would have been like, we need to count those towards it. But the amount that you're adding is actually, it makes a lot of sense based on like every hour of training you're adding in it, like about like, who knows, about 20 grams of carbs or so, makes total sense. So you've done it in a way that makes sense for the training, and that like, that's probably somewhat equivalent, and like you're fueling yourself enough to help fuel your training without overdoing it. So that was purely based on the response you gave me. If you had gave me an inappropriate response, I would have been like, okay, then we're going to track it. But your response was very appropriate. And I can tell that you thought about that, ahead of time. Like that was smart. That was well done, or it was the best guest ever, but like you did a great job either way.
But that was not bullshit on that one.
So on your deficit times that during the jabs, you're going to be between 1800 and 2000, which is great. You can eat a significant amount more calories and you're still going to lose weight. And that's going to help with the reducing the urge of binging. It's like, it's going to be one of the most amazing things. You're going to feel so good and actually be able to lose weight. It's like fucking awesome. And part of me wonders if you're probably going to have fewer O days, because now what classifies as an on point day is much higher than it was before. So you're probably going to reduce your O days and have it be easier. So this is great. Now your maintenance weeks, this is where it is plug and play. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take, here we go. We're going to do one. Okay. For maintenance, I'm going to have you. I'm going to have you between 21 to 2300. Okay.
Okay.
We're going to have you between 21 and 2300. You don't have to eat that much if you don't want to. If you're not hungry, don't force feed yourself. It's very, very important, especially when we're really trying to work towards an approach that you go by how you feel. And so like, you know, just over time you reach this equilibrium. If you're not hungry, don't eat, don't force feed yourself. But don't not eat because you're scared of having that many calories. That is not allowed either. Like if you're hungry, eat, that's okay. I promise you, you will not gain weight doing this. If there's one potential, it's the potential that the weight loss will be much slower than you would like, maybe potentially mentally or emotionally. But if you stick with these, I promise you, you will make that progress. You will lose weight. It's just going to be probably relatively slow.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And I know that. It's just, I think seeing that number where I've gone in the past of where I've had to track at that high, I'm like, why am I tracking if I'm at maintenance? Like, I'm just eating to eat, right? But I think, I know I trust you. So I think if I actually track on those maintenance days, I'll actually see it like come to fruition.
Yes. And you'll see it. It's going to change your conception of maintenance. It's going to give you a whole new idea of what maintenance looks like, how amazing it can actually be. I think a lot of people feel like they're at maintenance, but they're actually gaining. Like they feel like, oh, I'm in maintenance right now. I'm not tracking. But it's like then 8 weeks later, it's like, well, I've gained 4 pounds. So yeah, you're not in maintenance, buddy. Like that's not how it works. So it's maintenance is controlled maintenance of where you are. The other thing is I wanted to give you enough calories to where your brain, conscious or subconscious, will not think that you're starving at all. That to me, your relationship with food is the most important above all. I've said it for years. I'm sure you've heard me say a million times, like if you build any progress you make on the foundation of an unhealthy relationship with food will inherently be short-term progress. And going back to the Minnesota starvation experiment and watching these people who've gone through starvation periods, it can linger for a while, this like feeling of severe restriction. And I want to eliminate that at all costs. So to even see like your smile, your nervous smile, when I said how many calories you can have, I got happy because that may let me know that you're not going to think that you're starving at all. Like you don't feel overly restricted. Now it's the exact opposite concern, which to me is the best because now you're not worried about overly restricting, which can then lead to those thoughts of binging and that action of binging. Now it's like, oh my God, I have so many calories. Like, what am I going to do with it all? And should I even have it?
Yeah, totally. And that is, that's good. That's like where I want to be. Cause I want to, one of my goals I wrote down coming away from this is like trying to figure out truly the lifestyle balance for this. Like I called my Goggins thing a lifestyle and sustainable. And I was like, yeah, if I don't want any friends and don't want a social life, but I truly want, like I'm young, like I have the rest of my life to like still continue to enjoy things and, you know, go on the camping trips and Europe trips and stuff. So I want this lifestyle balance.
I love that. And for whatever it's worth, I've never met him. I've never spoken to him. I'm a huge fan of Goggins. Oh, I love that guy.
I love the mindset. I love it all.
It's and honestly, I think that mindset has made my life better in certain places because it's not that I want to be like him 100%. But even if I take 1% of that mentality and apply it to my life, then I'll work a little bit harder in something else, or I'll work a little bit harder in something else, whatever. And maybe that thing is trying to find more balance, whatever it is. But I don't think he would ever say to everyone that everyone needs to live the way that he lives, right? And knowing that it's for most people completely unsustainable, but taking what you can, taking what's valuable, and then incorporating that into your life, I think you probably learned a tremendous amount about yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally when you did that. And having gone through it, it will probably make you so much better than if you had never gone through that. Even if you don't continue living like that now, take what you learned and use what you did learn and take bits and pieces of it to enhance your life now rather than having it take up your whole life.
Yeah. And I've already seen it like almost in every single area of my life, every single day, I've still taken on his mindset. Like when I did my first half Ironman, I truly was about to walk off the course a mile and a half in on the, like kid you not, I was like, I'm done. I feel horrible. I was, cause it's a half marathon run for the final part. It's like 1.2 mile swim, 56 mile bike, half marathon, so 13.1 miles. Mile and a half in, I was like, done. One person, if I call my mom and she says, you know what, you did great, you can walk off, I'm walking off. And I had a coach, so I called her and she got me back on. But if I didn't have that kind of Goggins past, I would have walked off and not finished and not gotten the medal. But I was able to grit it out and I kept saying like, you don't know me, son.
I love that.
Like you knew this was going to be hard. Like you knew, like, of course it's hard. Of course you're feeling bad. Like good. Keep doing it. And so, it's definitely
you're not helped. Doing it because it's easy. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
I love that. That's amazing. And huge congrats on all you've accomplished, because those are feats of strength and willpower that are just otherworldly. So huge congrats. It's very impressive. Is there anything else that I didn't cover that we didn't talk about that you want to make sure you're good with before we go?
One other thing would be, so like, I know your whole thing is like, if something happens, you binge, like just get back on track the next meal. But like, do you have any like advice or insight for like the, like right before it happens / during while it's happening? 'Cause you just go down that rabbit hole, and it's just, even though I'm so consciously aware of it happening,
yeah,
you can't stop it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's crazy the timing of when you ask this question relative to the story you just told, in which you were about to walk off. You were like, I'm done. And what did you do? You called a friend. And that for me has been one of the most amazing blessings in my life, is having one friend, whatever it is that I'm struggling with. I think we often hide things from people close to us.
100%.
Like, we get embarrassed about it. We don't want to be a burden to them. We don't want them to think less of us, whatever it is. I have one friend in my life that, like, I have no secrets, like nothing. Like, and I like tell him everything. And so if I'm struggling with something, I can call him in that moment. And even if, let's say he doesn't pick up, I know he's gonna be like, "Hey, did I miss your call?" And like, I'm gonna have to explain what I was calling about. And so that for me, I would recommend that as a strategy for if you're about to, or if you're in the middle of binging, have someone you can call. And if you haven't spoken to them about it yet, I'd be like, "Hey, I got to tell you something I've been struggling with." And like, you might think this is weird, you might not get it, but I'm telling you this because if it's okay with you, I want to call you if I'm about to struggle with it. So like, we can just have a conversation. You can just like talk me down and like maybe just listen. That for me, I think, is probably my best advice, because that historically for me has just been, I've never regretted doing it. I've always regretted not doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I've never regretted giving a call when I needed to. So that would be probably my best piece of advice. Do you feel like you have one person that you could rely on for that? Okay.
Roommate just next door.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And just literally just being the most open and honest, being like, "Hey, listen, I'm having an urge to binge right now." Like, usually what I would do is like, I would be quiet and I would hide and I would go get food and bring it in my room, or I would like, whatever, I would hide it. But like, I just wanted to tell you right now, I'm about to struggle with this. So what'd you say?
I'd sneak it in my waistband and bring it into my bedroom, because I've done that before.
Yes. Anyone who struggled with binge eating like knows like these are real things. Then it's like, it's why I laugh when people say, "Yeah, like, I don't know why that person struggles with their weight. Like, I watch, they never eat anything." I'm like, they never let you see them eat something, but just because they don't let you see doesn't mean they're not doing it. And so, I would tell her that, be like, "Just so you know, like, I've done this where I've hit it in my waistband," like, be fully, fully honest with literally everything. It's one of the most cathartic experiences you can have. And it will also open the door for, you know, that like, anytime you're struggling with it, you can talk to her, because she knows it all. Like, she's heard it. So like, it's so nice to have someone who's not going to judge you in that situation, and who'll just be there to listen.
And I think just sharing all of the skeletons takes that weight off too, of like, and it makes you less likely to do it just by having someone else know besides yourself.
Exactly. That's exactly. When you're the only one, you can play all these mental gymnastics and like, this will be the last time. This will be the last time. It's like, good fucking luck. It's like, we need people in our lives to help us. Like, we need it. And so I would use that as an opportunity to have her be your confidant.
Okay. I like that. I'll do that. Cool.
Cool. How do you feel? Like, do you feel confident? Do you feel like you've got this?
I think so. Yeah. I think I just have to take it day by day and just
that's exactly right.
So lost in the numbers and lost in like, when am I going to reach this number, or like setting those kind of goals, and just like have the goal be to have just a healthy relationship while tracking.
Yes. Yes. That I love that. I love that. I think that's exactly right. I'm very confident that you're going to succeed. Like, I'm very confident. Even just like, you're so objective, you're so logical, you're very well spoken, you're incredibly smart. And I think just based on what I've seen or what you've said you've done, the hard work is not going to be the issue. It's not like you work hard as shit. The issue is, I think the biggest struggle is going to be giving yourself grace when you really need it. And like, just, hey, it's okay. It's not a big, like, I don't know anyone who's just like gone overnight. Like, hey, this is it. It's over and done. Especially not with being like really harsh on themselves. I want you to practice like a little bit more kindness and openness and understanding. And like, God forbid you have an O day. Like, okay, who cares? I hope you enjoyed it. Like, that's it. Right back on it. And that's it. And being, I think that for you is going to be kind to yourself and open and honest and share with your friend, with your roommate. And I think that'll help a lot.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I'm definitely too hard on myself most of the time. So.
and remember, this is something that has been helpful for me. And this is more from a performance perspective than anything else. But how old are you?
25.
25. Okay, awesome. So that's actually perfect in terms of like this discussion, because my whole life I've been an athlete as well. And I've always like wanted to be the best of the best of the best of the best athlete. Always. I'm not saying that you couldn't be the literal best athlete in the world, by the way. Like, I'm sure you could be the literal best athlete in the world. What helped me was to actually stop trying to be the best athlete in the world. It was like that helped me a lot mentally, because like whenever I was trying to be the best, I think in order to be the best, like, I don't know, a Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, or like Venus Serena Williams type, like just the best athletes in the world. I think that in order to be the best, you need to be very hard on yourself. You need to be outrageously strict and rigid. And I also think there are no top athletes in the world that would have any semblance of balance in their life. Like, you can't have both, like, period.
That's your entire life.
That's your whole life. That's it. And I think it's, in some ways it's great, but in some ways, you know, I think it's very difficult, as we can see, like a lot of ex pro athletes, and like they don't live the lives that they thought they would. And I think if you asked a lot of them, they would say they regret doing a lot of what they did, just because like it didn't set them up for a lifetime of health and happiness. For me, one of the things that I probably started understanding closer to 27 or 28 is that it's okay to not be the best, or not even try to be the best. Like, I could just do it and have fun with it. Like with jujitsu, that's been, I think it's one of the reasons why I've fallen in love with jujitsu so much. Like, I'm not trying to be the best jujitsu competitor in the world. I'm just trying to have fun with it and just do it. Yeah. That's it. And that is a very difficult thing for me that I did in the past. And I think it's a daily fight. It's like, hey, just enjoy it. Like, I don't need to be the best. But I know for me that when I was putting pressure on myself to be the best in everything, that mentality actually held me back in so many ways. And that mentality actually hurt my relationship with food, and it hurt my relationship with exercise, because I was trying to be the best. So if I missed one day, well, no, I'm not the best anymore. And like, then you get harder and harder and harder on yourself. It's like, when you're not trying to be the best, you're just trying to do it because you enjoy it and because it's good for you, and like, it's something you want to accomplish, I think you can inherently have more grace for yourself.
And then you walk away actually enjoying the sport and enjoying what you're doing a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause I'd let it wrap around as my identity of bad bitch.
Yeah.
And once I lost that, it was like, who am I? Like, what? Yes. Identity anymore. And now I can like hopefully just do it because I enjoy it, not because I'm hearing all the praises of how crazy I am for doing
exactly.
It
exactly. Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Gary Vaynerchuk has a very, very famous saying that I love. Basically, you can't hear the boos, but you also can't hear the cheers. Right? And he uses it from a business perspective, but a lot of people say they don't care what people think, But then when people give them props, like, oh, you're amazing, they get really excited about it. It's like, well, then clearly you care what people think. So it's not about, it's not about doing it for the cheers. It's not about doing it for the props. And it's also not about proving anybody wrong. The only person that you have to do something for is yourself. Right. And so when you're not comparing yourself to other people and like, well, I want to be the best of the best, And again, I'm not saying that's bad, but I think for a balanced life, it's probably not the best strategy to like always try and be the best. When you're not comparing yourself to other people and their performance, and you're only comparing you and yourself to your performance, now you can actually start caring about the right comparisons. And also, it, let's say you improve your time, I don't know, by 7 seconds. Now you're happy that you improved your time by 7 seconds. You're not disappointed because someone beat your time by 7 seconds, right? It's how well did you do compared to yourself?
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like,
if you do worse, because I think that's where I've been struggling too, is like I'm comparing to myself last year, the year before, to give yourself grace of like, it's okay that you did say like not beat your time by 7 seconds. It's okay 7 seconds slower because you improved in this other area or like this facet. Yes. Or let's say I do slower on this next race. Hopefully though, I have a better relationship with food, and that's a bigger win than a faster time.
Fuck yes. I love that. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You said it perfectly. I love that.
Cool. Yeah.
Do you feel good?
I do. Good. I feel like neutrally positive. Like I'm not like jumping the gun, but I feel like it's a good space to be of just like, yeah, this feels manageable.
That's it. That makes it all worth it. That's the best thing I could hear. And if you need anything, you know how to reach out, you know how to get in touch with me. Make sure you speak with your roommate and have that conversation. But thank you for taking the time to speak. This was a pleasure for me. I'm really glad we did this. I'm going to be publishing this podcast for sure. I think it's going to help a lot of people. And if you need anything, please don't hesitate to reach out.
Thank you so much, Jordan. I really appreciate you taking your time to speak with me. So I will.
Do you, oh, by the way, and you do not have to do this. Do you want people to message you if they listen to this? Would you like to speak with them? Do you want to do that?
Yeah, that's totally cool.
Can you tell them where they can find you on social media?
Yeah, I have two Instagrams. I have a real Instagram and a fitness Instagram, but I'll give out my fitness one because that's
please.
Where I spend more of my time. But it's mighty_fit, but it's a wordplay of how I like of my last name.
Okay.
My last name is Meidinger. So it's Meidy _fit.
Meidy_fit. Love that. Perfect. All right. So anyone who's listening, if you want to reach out, say hello, shoot her a message, that would be wonderful. And yeah, thank you. This has been an absolute pleasure. I'm so glad we got to speak, and please keep me updated with how it goes. Okay.
Absolutely. Keep you posted. Thank you so much.
Of course. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Bye.